There's nothing greater than getting in God's presence. You know, there's a place that you worship and you cross over. And when you cross over, something happens. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a breaking of yoke. It's no longer you that you're concerned about anymore. It's Him. All your troubles are gone. All your thoughts are gone. All what you should have done, how you should have done it, when you should have done it is gone. There's no regrets in God's presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. And there's deliverance and healing. That's why the Bible tells us the Father searches those who will worship Him in truth and spirit. God is looking for true worshipers right now. You know, I never realized the amazement of God's presence until I had a visitation, and His presence killed me. Killed me with love. Taken to the other side, set free, watched a serpent come out of my body physically, and I never went back. I was never the same. Got totally freed and healed. And He introduced me to the Holy Spirit. And when He introduced me to the Holy Spirit, He said, He's now your buddy, your nanny. He is your everything. He'll bring you to me in everything. And whatever I share, He's going to share with you. See, so many people don't realize the relationship of the Holy Spirit. That's why there's two baptisms. There's the baptism of the blood of Jesus with water. In other words, when you repent, you're washed by the blood. But there's another baptism of the Holy Spirit, which so many people forsake or miss or don't know about. And in that baptism, it brings you into the second chamber of the tabernacle. There's three chambers. There's the outer court, holy place, and most holy place. And so many people are living in an outer court and don't even know it. That's why they easily fall. They easily go back, or they're not walking in power. See, when you and I get together, we get to worship. Worship is so essential because you're sowing in the Spirit, and sowing in the Spirit reaps life. I don't care if you can memorize the whole Bible, but if you're not backed by the Holy Spirit and the anointing, the words that you speak are nothing but seeds. It's not sword, and it's different. That's why many people don't have victory. Because they're just throwing seeds at the devil, not the sword. That's why it's so important with the anointing. And the Holy Spirit said to me tonight, I want you to speak more on the anointing. But He's told me about anointed feet. It's kind of strange. Everyone say, I have anointed feet. Hopefully you can run faster now, you know. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? There's no coincidence why we're here tonight. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Everybody there yet? See, when you are in the Spirit, which is in the anointing, it's totally different. It's totally different. You're on fire for God. You can't be on fire for God without the fire. Amen? In verse 15, let's speak it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even so many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In other words, they were fake. Verse 20. But you have what? An anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth. He will tell you things to come. The gifts of the Spirit are associated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the anointing? It is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. All in one. Jesus was the anointed one. So he brought with him the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Revelation 12. Why do we need this power? To overcome the enemy, to overcome deception, to overcome sickness, to overcome fear, to overcome doubt, to expose lies and deceptions of all things. Without the anointing, you and I are nothing. We must have the anointing. That's why you pray to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Revelation 12, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Who was the woman? It was a representation of Israel, but also the woman, Jesus, that was going to give birth. I mean, the woman's mother, Jesus. Amen? Mary. But not that we worship her, right? A woman clothed with the sun. In other words, a woman clothed with light. The light. Remember, there was the word tells about the light, but then there's the one that's weaker. It's a shadow. It's a reflection of the true light, which is known as the moon. Now watch this. So it's a woman clothed with the sun or the light, with the moon, what? Under her, where? Feet. Dominion and authority under the lesser light, which is darkness. And on her head a garland of 12 stars. 12 was a representation of government. And being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. Something was about to be released. And another sign appeared. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars, which are angels, of heaven and threw them to the earth. Remember, Lucifer, the dragon, was one of the 3 major archangels. He was in charge of the third of the angels. And a dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then a woman fled into the wilderness where she has place prepared by God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Again, the woman clothed with the light, and the lesser light was under her feet. In other words, she had dominion and authority over it. The 12 stars ruling government to release an anointed one. She was going to give birth to the anointed one and his anointing in a temporary realm to defeat Satan's kingdom and anoint Christ's offsprings. 1 John chapter 3. But they were under her what? Feet. She had anointed feet. Dominion and authority. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 7. Hallelujah. Let's speak it, please. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he what? Might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Jesus came to destroy the enemy and anoint his offsprings. John chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Everybody there? Then 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. You talk about humility and humbleness. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Jesus, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was the thief and had a money box, and he used to take what was in it, put in it. But Jesus said to him, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." This was so profound. Here she comes and anoints the feet of Jesus. For what? To fulfill a mission he had been called for. She was anointing the feet to where he could go. But there was another anointing upon this. She was anointing him for his burial. See, when you serve the Lord, you're dead. You got to become dead. You cannot be alive serving God. You must be dead to yourself. That's why the Bible says, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. That's what the anointing does. It kills your old ways. It kills your old ways. And so when it's denying yourself, you're denying yourself. In that area, it's outer court position in the tabernacle. It says, pick up the cross, that's holy place. And to follow me is most holy place. See, there's three different anointings in the tabernacle. The first one is for salvation, the second one is for priesthood, and the third one is for warrior. So you and I cannot just live in the outer court. We must live in the holy place and the most holy place. Because outside the outer court is called outer darkness. And that's where many people go back and forth, back and forth. That's why so many people, they can go through programs, they can go to Bible studies, they can go through everything, and they're still going back and forth and falling. Why? They're living in the outer court, not the holy place. Why? Because they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're lacking the anointing. But that's what worship does. It brings God's presence. The more you're in God's presence, the more you change, the more power you get. Amen? Acts chapter 7. Acts 7:30. Anointed feet. Well, your feet can't get anointed unless your head's anointed first, you know. The anointing runs from the head down. In verse 30, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame. Who is this? Moses. In a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And he drew near to observe. The voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is what? Holy. Why? His sandals were made by man. It represented man. He wasn't looking for man. He was looking for a person to carry his message. Why? Because he was going to, as soon as he took off his sandals and stepped on that holy ground, his feet became anointed. Did you ever hear people, you can talk to doctors and so forth and whatever, and I tell you it's good to walk barefooted in the grass. It's called grounding because of the frequency in the earth. Well, Moses was grounding, but he was grounding in the anointing, holy ground. And he said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now I come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler and a judge? Is one God sent to be a ruler and delivered by the hand of an angel who appeared to him in the bush? Look, a lot of people couldn't handle Moses' testimony. A lot of people couldn't handle mine. Even my family still didn't believe it. They were waiting for me to blow it all over again, being a drug addict out there. You know, after you get touched by the Lord and delivered and healed and filled with the Spirit of God, and the anointing changes you, you don't want to go back. There is no going back. It's either death or go forward. But you die daily to yourself through the anointing. Amen? So the sandals were made by man, man's strength. He said, you can't serve me in your own strength. He had to take off the sandals and his bare feet were touched on holy ground, and God was preparing him for a journey of salvation message and to deliver his people. In Romans chapter 10. Everybody okay? Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we speak. Amen. We speak the word. And even when you're doing your prayer booklets and speaking promises of God, you speak it. Why? Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. You're speaking light. The more light you speak, the more light you eat, the more darkness leaves. You can get healed by just continuing to speak the healing scriptures of light. Why? Because it's driving out darkness. Sickness is darkness. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Anointed feet to carry the anointed eternal power and presence of God in the truth. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not our own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. So many people still do not know how to put on the full armor of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Those are all demonic forces. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on a breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Why? Because you're a peace carrier. You're carrying the peace of God. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what? What does that mean? In tongues. In tongues. If people could understand the importance of praying in the language of God. It's his language. It's the only language the devil can't interpret. He can interpret all human language, but he cannot interpret tongues. He's got a fake tongue, but he can't interpret the tongues. That's why when you're praying in the Spirit, in tongues, you're praying the perfect will of God, where the enemy cannot interpret it, because he's always trying to interrupt. You know, when you pray in your common language, and I'm not telling you not to pray in your common language, but when you do, the enemy knows what you're praying, right? And he's going to try to always interfere. That's why you must warfare on behalf of your prayers. You bind, blind, mute, and deaf, the powers of darkness coming against your prayers and the angels working on your behalf. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit or in tongues, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Very important. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 22, it says, "And Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all the things of the what? Church, with all authority, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all things under the feet," mean dominion, which extends to all the followers of Christ. Now, the word believe means to follow. You can say you're a believer, but if you're not following, you're not. God looks at you as not a believer, as not a follower. He actually considers people that call themselves believers and don't follow liars, because they're deceived themselves. I know many people think that they're believers. Many of my family members think they're believers. I don't even think they made it to the outer court yet. They drink and they party and I believe in Jesus. Well, if you believed him, you'd follow him. Doesn't mean we're perfect, and it doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, because we will. We're going to still do stupid stuff, say stupid things, buy stupid things, whatever it is. We're going to make mistakes, but we're going to repent for them, because you're going to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But many of them just make excuses or justification, blaming others. They're not believers. They're not followers. They proclaim to be a believer, but they're truly not. We pray for them. Hallelujah. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Is everybody there? "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves." That's healthy. "You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet." Why? Because you have dominion. "On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, whom I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. He will be one of the witnesses that will come, which can come any moment. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Powerful. Things are moving faster. We're watching prophetic manifestations becoming complete. Eyes are beginning to turn more on Israel. Again, we're going to probably most likely see the dome of Israel, that the ones that the Muslims, actually it's kind of like they believe it's their dome. It'll probably be destroyed, struck by lightning or earthquake or something to that degree, so they can build a new temple. They have all the preparations for the new temple. They even have the red heifer for the sacrifice. They have already had the priest sanctified already. I don't know if you saw it or not, but on the last Feast of Trumpets, which the feasts are vitally important to know, there was like 112 priests or something like that out there. All blew the shofar at one time. The whole world saw it. It was amazing. Why? Because we're not only in the last days, we're in the last moments. And we must be prepared. We must maintain the anointing, maintain the presence of God, and maintain position. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're just going to skip a lot of this and go right to verse 13. Because we know all about the serpent. The serpent. Shape-shifting, fallen cherub. He's known as Lucifer, who was God's right-hand man at one time, who was the praise and worshiper of the universe. He was made with timbrels. He was beautiful. He was wisdom. Until pride entered and wanted to be worshipped like God. He seduced Eve, produced his own offsprings. And in verse 13, it says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate,'" which means partake. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go.'" That means he was upright. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put hatred or enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Well, who was his seed? Cain. "He shall bruise your" what? "Your head." In other words, he's going to crush your head. "But you will bruise his heel." Why? Guess representation of Jesus on the cross, crushing the head of the serpent. Why? Listen, when he died, he went to where? Hell. So he took all of mankind's sin on, went into hell, as it was qualified him to go into hell. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the serpent. He bruised his heel. Why? Because he died on the cross. He was bruised, beaten, smitten badly. Nobody could endure what he endured. So he bruised. Jesus was bruised, but he crushed the head of the serpent. Amen? "And to the woman he said," now this is vitally important, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception." Why? Because she just produced an offspring. Not of God's. Of the serpent. "And in pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your" what? "Husband." Nobody else anymore. "And he shall rule over you." Again, the serpent. Again, Jesus taking dominion. Dominion and authority. You know, it freaked them out when he showed up down there, huh? It said he went and preached to all of them. He gave them an opportunity to get out. Many of them didn't want to get out because they were still serving Satan. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrew. Chapter 10. Starting at verse 11. Let's speak it. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. He's talking about the Old Testament. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made under his what? Footstool. Dominion and authority. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of sin, of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Very powerful. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, that's what's so important about fellowshipping, coming together in God's presence and worship. 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 It is the key that overcomes everything. Why? Because you get more of him and less of you. I'm going to close at Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 13. Everybody there? Praise God. So Jesus sent out his disciples, and he said to them, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. In other words, don't let rejection affect you. Shake it off. Move away. You know, because we're going to be persecuted. People are not going to believe everything you got to say. We're to be witnesses of the truth. And that can only happen by truly carrying the anointing. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's why he says, don't carry rejection of when you're being rejected of knowing the truth. Keep your feet clean and continue to move forward. Shake the dust off. Don't carry anything with you when you're not accepted and when you're rejected. Amen? Because that's going to happen more and more and more. And people are getting easily offended. You don't want to fall into that place of offense. It does nothing but brings harm to yourself. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for preparation to the things to come. And we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. And for the price that you paid for each and every one of us. Lord, let the seed of your word that's been imparted to each and every one be protected by the blood of Jesus and sealed by the Holy Spirit, that it may grow and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Give somebody a hug and tell them you got it.